Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, and welcome to In the Limelight, Vanity Fair's entertainment and pop culture podcast. I'm Josh Duboff, Vanity Fair's senior writer, and I'm here with Julie Miller, Vanity Fair's senior Hollywood writer.
On In the Limelight, we analyze the ins and outs of pop culture, entertainment, and celebrity from the past week, from the Kardashians to Kate Middleton and everything in between.
We have a lot to talk about on this week's episode. We'll be quickly chatting about the SAG Awards, which took place on Sunday night. We're going to let you know what Lindsay Lohan has been up to recently, in case you aren't aware. It's probably not what you expect.
Surprising.
We want to talk about the first official photo from the all-female Ocean's 11 reboot that can't come soon enough. And God help us, we will be talking about the Suits premiere. Julie has a lot to say. I cannot wait.
But first, Josh, I want to hear about, I left Sundance and then you arrived, I think the day after I left, with your brother, Sam. How did that go for you? You had never been there before.
I know, we were like ships passing in the snowy winds. But it was really sad to get there right after Julie had left. It was like showing up to a party when the pizza had all been eaten or something.
Oh, I love that comparison.
But it was great. It was actually kind of funny because, Julia, I feel like you talked last week about the first weekend of Sundance and being there as I was the second weekend. I overheard someone, because you spend so much time waiting in line for movies, so I feel like I did a lot of overhearing over the course of the weekend. And I heard someone mention that they loved the second weekend in comparison to the first, only because the first weekend was like the glitzy, you know, all the celebrities everywhere, all the big premieres, so crowded, like you can't get into any movie because it's just swarms of, you know, Alison Brie trying to get her way in and stuff. But like, the second weekend, you know, the celebrities were gone and it was more about the movies. It was lower key. You could get into things. I feel like they both have their, you know, there's probably a time for the weekend one, time for weekend two. We all have a bit of both in us. But you know what I mean? It's a different vibe. So it's kind of interesting to see. I feel like it was a much different feeling probably the weekend I was there than you. I did not see Matt Bomer at any piano bars, if you know what I mean.
So disappointing.
But I will say that it was great. I saw like 8 movies in 3 days, which was a lot of movies. And there were some really good ones. It was super cold. It was 0 degrees when I got there. But I enjoyed it a lot. Anyway, let's move on to talk about briefly the SAG Awards on Sunday night, which watched on a plane and was actually kind of a great thing to watch on a plane. I was flying back from Sundance as the SAG Awards were taking place. You weren't there, right, Julie?
I was not there. No, I had just returned home. I was kind of recovering. I had it on in the background, so I was watching it muted.
There are two moments in particular I know we were both excited about. This involves Meryl, so I feel like I should defer to you. But one of our favorite moments involved Miss Streep, who is always good for an awards show highlight, I feel.
It was a very brief moment, but she reached over and I guess Ryan Gosling's tie was crooked. So she fixed it. She kind of straightened it out. And I feel like that is on par with being blessed by a Hollywood. I don't know. What would you even compare that to?
I mean, I feel like that's also just a mixture of all the things the internet loves, you know, like a cute Ryan Gosling moment, Queen Meryl doing some sort of queenly
something
anointing.
Unexpected.
Yeah, right. It also has the kind of like surprise element. I always think Meryl would be the most fun person to sit next to at an awards show.
Hands down.
I also feel like I was disappointed. I texted my mom because why does Ryan Gosling never bring Eva Mendes to any of these awards shows? I get that they're ultra private, blah, 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 but, you know, it's a big deal. Is he going to bring her to the Oscars, I hope?
What's your rationale, though? Just the fact that we have to listen to him talk about her in very sweet acceptance speeches, we should at least get to see her in the audience?
I don't know. I just have this weird thing. I've always had it where I don't really, like, when someone's nominated for an Oscar, that's to me, like, what's the analogy? Like, if anyone we knew was nominated for the biggest honor in their career, and I feel like your spouse comes to that.
Well, maybe she's waiting for the Oscars. But I guess my rationale, I don't mind it as much. I mind it more with the Blake Lively, Ryan Reynolds thing, because they want it both ways. They bring those kids to like the public Hollywood star ceremonies, but then they don't release the kids' names. That seems they want it both ways.
Right. So you're saying like they've made this decision, we're going to be private, so she's not going to go to award shows and things.
Right. It sounds like she had her hands full, though, between her brother and her two kids. But I love that.
Oh my gosh, now you're making me feel so bad for being like, where is she? Like an evil witch or something.
Sorry.
Julie just being like, sorry, never talking to Eva Mendes in Julie's presence again. But yes, I feel like you're right. She does have a lot, you know, a lot happening, I guess. What movies is she doing? So gosh, now I'm just like, hating on her even more. You. I just said,
No.
What's going on with her career that she's so busy? Okay, Eva Mendes is not going to be returning my calls anytime soon. So the other moment that I loved from the SAG Awards was, did you see the Stranger Things winning best, I guess, drama ensemble?
I saw the video shortly after when it made it to Twitter. Were you watching it live? What were you thinking as it aired?
Well, I was on a plane. Oh, I think I tweeted this, but I was just overcome on this plane watching the SAG Awards by Nicole Kidman came out to present some award, and she was wearing this amazing dress. Did you see it? It was like green.
I saw your tweet about it. There were like these incredible.
Little there are these little birds on the side of it, but it was not your normal award show dress. Like, it was very kind of Paris Fashion Week looking. And I was just like, oh my God. And then I kind of tried to take a photo of the screen on my Delta flight. And there was this bro next to me who was watching, like, I don't know, Training Day or something. And I like elbowed him to take this photo of Nicole Kidman on my screen. And he kind of like looked at me. We didn't have a good dynamic all flight to begin with, because I think I'd accidentally taken part of his seatbelt at the beginning. And he was just not happy with me. And I went to the bathroom once and had to make him stop watching his bro-y comedy. But then I like elbowed him to take this photo, and he kind of looks over me and he looks at the screen, and it's like, I'm taking a photo of Nicole Kidman. He's like, and I just was like, and kind of like pointed, because I didn't really know what to say. And I'm like, I'm really sorry. And he just grunted and went back to his show.
I love that you just pointed at this dress. Like, well, he doesn't know what to say. Right. No, I support that.
Anyway, so Stranger Things, the cast won. David Harbour, who plays the sheriff, I forget the character's name, he gave the speech on behalf of the cast, which I read he had run through with them the night before, so they knew what was coming, but it was a very political speech. A lot of the speeches were, everyone was kind of talking about the executive order, the immigration ban, and Winona Ryder was positioned right next to him, and during the speech, she was making the weirdest faces. It was all I could look at. It kind of pulled focus from the speech. I mean, the speech was kind of phenomenal. And he was like really impassioned and talking so loudly and really getting into it. And Winona's making these faces that you would think she was like, I don't even know how to describe it.
Out of her mind on psychedelics.
No, yeah. She was having her own journey on stage for sure. And it was kind of...
She was hallucinating. There was something that she could see, but we couldn't see.
Right. I saw someone tweeted a meme of something where they superimposed a slice of pizza
floating in front of her, which made more sense than just her reacting to the speech.
It looked like something else was going on that we didn't know about. There must be more to it. Someone's going to ask her about it soon, right?
Right, right. She hasn't responded, right? She hasn't commented?
No. Unfortunately, I don't think she's on social media or anything. I would love that, though, if she was. I feel like it would be a wild ride.
Another Hollywood cold case, and we're going to have to wait for that mystery to be solved.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So I feel like there's a transition from Winona Ryder to Lindsay Lohan that I'm not coming to right now, but there's something there, like from one child star who's dealt with some personal drama to another, maybe.
Right.
That's not the catchiest I've ever done. But
dark criminal.
Ooh, yeah. From what? What was that? Dark criminal bad girl. that's quite the name. Okay. From Winona Ryder to Lindsay Lohan. Julie, what was Lindsay Lohan up to we need to discuss this.
Well, as the world is kind of imploding.
Yes, right.
Lindsay Lohan decided to delete her Instagram history. Correct me if I have this wrong.
No, I think that's right.
And then she met with the president of Turkey.
Yeah. Which, when I saw this on Instagram, at first I thought it was some sort of like photo manipulation she had made. Because I was just like, what?
And she wrote, "What a dream it is for Mr. President Erdogan and the First Lady to invite me to their home," with a photo of the Turkish president and his wife. "Their efforts in helping Syrian refugees is truly inspiring. Hashtag peace starts now. Please for peace." She also tagged, though, President Trump and added the Arabic greeting, "Assalamu alaikum," which means "peace be unto you." There's a lot to parse here, but my...
I was going to say, you need to like take this one for a spin over the next week and get back to you.
I mean, I suppose that there are worse things.
I mean, I guess, right. So like there's this part of it that's maybe, you know, good for her. But it's like, to me, I want to know how this meeting came about. Does the president of Turkey know who Lindsay Lohan is? Does he think she's like a diplomat? Like, I'm just confused.
Right. How would you fan fiction this out?
No, I mean, like, I don't know. I guess the past couple of months, she's been, you know, actually seemingly basically only all I know about her from following her Instagram account is that she's been doing a lot of actual work, it seems.
Maybe the president of Turkey requested a meeting with her back during her Mean Girl days, and she's just getting around to answering that fan mail now.
I mean, I don't know enough about how these things work, but is she speaking on behalf of the U.S.? Like, are they making... I mean, I don't know. Like, did he ask her to sign a DVD? What was the nature of this meeting?
Right. Maybe this is all her quest. This is a campaign to become an ambassador.
And you know what? Given the way things are going, you know, she'll probably be vice president soon. That might be actually nice.
What do you imagine happened during that meeting?
I feel like she is really... determined. When Lindsay Lohan wants to meet with someone or do something, she usually gets it, is my feeling. So I feel like she, you know, sent a few emails. I don't know. She kind of made her case. I feel like she wrote a long thing. She wrote that poem. Did you read that poem she wrote a few weeks ago about like, the state of affairs following the election? She has a lot of feelings about what's going on in the world. When Brexit was happening, she was tweeting about Brexit all night.
Right. I was surprised. By
yeah, she's taken a turn and become this very politically aware. You know, she probably should have her own like CNN show at this point.
It's funny you say that because she also did an interview with two Australian radio hosts.
Oh, and they asked her about Donald Trump, right?
They asked her about Donald Trump and she kept trying to get away from certain questions she didn't like. They asked her if she owned properties in London.
And she was like not having that.
She said, "What kind of question is that?" And then at one point, I guess they brought up the comment Donald Trump made, something he insinuated about her sex life, and she didn't want to answer that. And they were kind of going back and forth, and Lindsay really didn't like these questions, but she was giving it the old college try, trying to keep everything on message, which I have no idea what that message was. She eventually hung up on the host, but then called immediately after. And this has been a long, winding way to get to this tagline, which I think is another Mariah-level tagline that our podcast can use.
What is it?
So I guess the hosts were like, "We're so sorry. Did we offend you?" And she said, "No, that was a joke," hanging up on them. "That was a joke. We're great together. We should have our own show in Dubai."
Wait, why Dubai?
I don't know.
Wait, that's so good. That's such a good tagline to add to the arsenal for us. Right. Up there with like, "Hi, I'm Nina," and the
just
Mariah one, "You can come on
better."
Yeah, just don't get any better. I kind of feel like we should just add in Dubai to all sorts of things too.
It does make things more exotic.
But I feel bad. I mean, I don't know. She's one of these ones like Misha Barton or who else? Amanda Bynes, where I feel like just let them be, you know? Why are hosts asking her invasive questions?
Right. The world needs peace right now. And if Lindsay Lohan is supporting it.
Though I do kind of love that her like, because when you're just talking about that, it made me think about like, what is her message? And it's kind of funny to me how it's always just like, peace. You know, I wish people listened, but it's just always this kind of like hashtag peace to like add it to the end of some caption.
Where do you think Dina Lohan is in the world when she's seeing these Instagram updates?
I don't. Dina Lohan It's probably like middle of Jersey, some sort of, I have no idea. I feel like they don't speak. That's my guess right now. I feel like Lindsay does better when she's not connected to Dina. I feel like Dina's blocked from looking at her Instagram.
Oh, dark.
Because I feel like she just wants to fly free.
Don't we all?
Yeah. One of the movies I saw at Sundance was called Dina, D-I-N-A, and it won Best Documentary. Someone was asking what it's about. I'm like, oh, it's actually the story of Dina Lohan's entire life from now until giving birth to Lindsay and then through today. And like someone believed that. It's totally not about Dina Lohan. But then I was like, I would love that documentary.
I'm surprised that isn't an E! Hollywood story.
Yeah, like Dina Lohan behind the music, behind the highlights. So Lindsay would probably love a role in Ocean's 11, the all-female reboot. That was a good transition, right?
I mean, who wouldn't want a role?
We need to talk about this movie. The first official photo, right? And then no photos had been released until yesterday.
Right. So they cast this amazing Ocean's 11 reboot entirely with actresses, including Sandra Bullock, Kate Blanchett, Helena Bonham Carter.
Anne Hathaway,
Mindy Kaling.
Sarah Paulson.
And then on Monday, they released the first ever photo of all the characters.
They're all on a subway wearing kind of like colorful coats.
All wearing fabulous coats.
Yeah, the coats are great. I don't know. I loved it and I'm excited about it for sure. But I also was sort of hoping for a little bit, I don't know. I wanted more from the first picture, honestly. It's like a sort of sedate photo. They're all just like sitting on a subway. I kind of wanted more of an action movie, like they're all walking down an alley with like a fire behind them kind of thing.
Right. I did not know who this actress is. Is this an actress or musician? Awkwafina?
Oh, yeah. She's like a emerging comic. Talk about, that's like if I got cast in a movie with like Brad Pitt, Chris Hemsworth, Matt Damon. It'd be like if I was in Ocean's 11, basically the male version. It's like, oh, hey, like I'm here too. They're like, who's Awkwafina? Meaning Josh. I don't know how she got cast, but you know, she must be having the time of her life. Her friends are probably like, girl, tell me everything.
Right. I don't know. This looks like a great movie. For me, the biggest takeaway was that along with this photo, they released a plot of the movie in which they disclose Sandra Bullock's character.
And what is the name of her character?
Let me find it here. Oh, okay, guys, are you ready? The tide will turn as Debbie Ocean, as played by Sandra Bullock, attempts to pull off the heist of the century at New York City's star-studded Met Gala. Her first stop is to assemble the perfect crew. So Debbie Ocean.
Debbie is not the name I want for her. Debbie is like, that's the name of a character in like a Sundance indie who is addicted to painkillers or something. I don't know. So I guess she's supposed to be Danny Ocean's sister or relative or something.
Right.
But I feel like they could have done better than Debbie.
Debbie's their grandmother.
Yes, right. She's Betty White who comes in at the end and is like, hey, girls. Like, she's all their mother. But like, for Sandra, no. This probably means, by the way, that George Clooney is definitely making a cameo of some kind.
Right. And Julia Roberts.
Oh, yeah. I love Julia Roberts.
But I do love that it's set at the Met Gala.
Yeah. And I saw that they filmed a fake Met Gala. And I have a fun little exclusive tidbit to share, which is I ran into a casting director for Ocean's 11 in like December. Or not a casting director. She worked somehow in casting, though, for the movie. And she was telling me that she was getting ready to prep for the fake Met Gala within the movie. And I was like, what a dream job to like be charged with that. And she said it's actually very stressful because she was having so much trouble securing celebrities to come on set for just a day and be in this fake Met Gala. And I was like, what? Ask Kate, ask Rihanna, ask Sandra for help. And she was like, oh, I wish. So she was having a lot of trouble getting celebrities to agree to be in the movie.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. And then I saw, like, you're like overwhelmed by that.
But, I am. I can't even wrap my mind around the fact that they have to recreate an entire Met Gala.
So then I was really, after I talked to this girl, I was really paying attention to it in the news because they leaked some of the celebrities who were in this fake Met Gala in the movie. Like Katie Holmes, I think, was in it. Kendall Jenner, Kylie Jenner, Kim Kardashian, Anna Wintour went there to make an appearance. So, you know, they ended up getting some good celebrities, it sounds like. But I would have thought people would be clamoring to be in this movie.
What would be amazing is if the spinoff, I imagine there will be a sequel, is set. They're kind of trying to get inside the Vanity Fair Oscar party.
Oh, I wish that was what it was about. That would be a great follow-up. That would be such a good follow-up. I like that you're setting that out there now. So I have a question for you, which is, it's an interesting group of women. The photos from set imply they're having this great time and you see them all palling around. Do you feel like there's friends emerging within, or who would you want to hang out with most among this crew of actresses?
I will tell you, and this is going off on a tangent, but I was scrolling through Daily Mail yesterday and there were photos of Helena Bonham Carter and her mom.
Yeah.
And you know Helena Bonham Carter, she's the most amazing style, very kooky fairy godmother.
Yeah, but very cool.
Very cool. And her mom is that even more.
I think you sent that, you texted that to me yesterday with no commentary. It's just like, ee! I was like, wow, Julie's having a great night. It's
just like... It was a dark rabbit hole. But I think she's kind of the coolest. I feel like she doesn't even have time for Cate Blanchett.
I was going to say, I could see Helena Bonham Carter on that set being like, who's Rihanna? Like, she doesn't know who these people are. She's not sucking up to anyone. She just goes in, eats her lunch, and then goes to walk down a misty.
Right. She doesn't care who has an Oscar. Who doesn't?
Yeah. I feel like that's a good call. I feel like she'd be fun.
Who would you want to hang out with, and who do you think is a click?
Sandra, to me, has the personality of everyone loves her, kind of no drama. I feel like Sandra is the one you go to if you just want to kind of vent or something. And I feel like Cate Blanchett is a little harder to get to know. I don't think she's quite as like out there in the middle of the party, so to speak.
Right. I feel like Cate brings the drama in every single situation. I remember seeing her at a Cannes after party. Even just the way she was standing, she was like snaked over a chair, this insane posture. I can't really do it
no,
justice.
She feels to me like highly on at all times. I feel like talking to her, I'd just be so intimidated.
Right.
She's probably referencing rare works of literature offhandedly when you ask her for advice, that kind of thing.
Well, I feel like you know who she is. She's the Naomi Campbell of this cast.
Yes. And I feel like Mindy Kaling has been working up the courage to say something to Cate Blanchett for the entire duration of the shoot. Like, still hasn't figured out what to say.
I know. She's talking into her mirror and her trailer, like, this is going to be the day.
Mindy's like, I'm finally going to say something to Cate today. And Cate kind of looks off. She's like, oh, she seems in a bad mood today. I'm going to wait till tomorrow. Anne Hathaway, to me, is also a wild card on this set. I do not know how Anne fits into the whole picture.
But I feel like she and Mindy could kind of be the nice girls.
Yeah, if Mindy's not saying anything to Cate, I feel like Anne is overdoing it. Like, Anne had a monologue prepared of every Cate Blanchett performance she's ever seen. And I was like, Cate, I know this is crazy, but I just need to, like, tell you how much it meant to me when I first saw Elizabeth in theaters. I immediately went home and wrote in my journal. Cate's just kind of like, all right, when can I get home? But Anne does seem sweet, so maybe she was not that offended by it.
Who do you think was most likely to smoke weed with Rihanna in her trailer?
Ooh.
Aside from Awkwafina.
I was going to say, oh, my mind went right to Awkwafina, knowing nothing about her. Maybe not Sandra. You know, I know this sounds weird. I could see Cate and Rihanna hitting it off. I don't know if Cate's down for, like, you know, but I could see Cate being like, of all the people there, like, I want to hang out with Rihanna. Who else, though? Sarah Paulson, maybe?
Right.
I could see Sarah Paulson and Rhee kind of vibing.
I feel like Cate would only smoke out of some mythical pipe crafted by unicorns.
Lord of the Rings vibes, kind of. I mean, Rihanna, to me, she's so, to me, on this other stratosphere. Like, I saw some interview Mindy Kaling gave about filming this movie, and the paparazzi were kind of following all of them. Then, like, Rihanna turned a corner, and they all kept following Rihanna and ditched everyone else. The pop star thing is so different, you know?
Oh, I want to get a hold of Cate Blanchett's burn book from this film.
Can you imagine being a PA on this set? I feel like you must have the most amazing stories to tell.
I feel like each PA got a 500-page manual at the start of production, and each actress has different demands and requirements. Like, you can't look Cate in the eyes.
Right. Sandra requires her cowboy hat to be placed in front of her by 5 feet. I don't know. I would like to hang out with Rihanna and Sandra.
Oh, you were not very confident.
No, I was gonna say with Kate, but I don't know. And they all seem fun though.
I think I would want to hang out with the PA who has all the stories.
There's also a very strange aspect of this to me that the movie doesn't come out till summer 2018. So we have to wait like a year and a half for this.
Oh my gosh, are they just gonna release
photo? What if they just release one photo a week? Whenever these movies, these big time movies that they have so many paparazzi photos from, and you feel like you know the movie so well, almost becomes like you've seen the movie already. You know what I mean?
This is going to feel like some sort of hostage situation by the time this is up, where we only get one photo from the captor.
Yeah, right. So finally, and they never give us the goods at the end or something. I mean, I'm sure it'll be such a good, I mean, can't wait for it. Speaking of still photos, though, and highly anticipated film, media, television events, Julie, I know you spent your night last night in very, very dynamic fashion watching
The Suits. I believe it was actually the mid-season premiere.
So you watched The Return of Suits featuring our one and only...
Our one and only Meghan Markle. I have not seen an episode of Suits in its 6-season run, and I did not attempt to before watching this.
So what did you think?
Well, first, I want everyone to know that I paid $2.99 for this, so I watched it legally, and I think it was worth it in the end, just to see what our girl's up to. But I have to say that after devoting this much time to Meghan,
yeah,
I was disappointed she wasn't in more scenes.
How much of the episode is she in?
Maybe 10%.
Oh, wow. So she's not, is she the main female character or not?
No, there was this other female character that everybody was constantly referencing.
Oh.
She plays Rachel. There's another character whose name is Zane, which really took me out of it for a second. I guess my biggest takeaway was that the show is very on brand and that everyone wears some sort of like office appropriate formal wear at all times, even after the characters like sleep together.
They're still wearing their suits.
They're still wearing, like, the girl walked in this perfectly ironed Oxford shirt. It was really incredible. So that was my number one takeaway. The second takeaway, there was no legal work done at all during this episode. It was a lot of yelling and metaphors and trying to get a hold of the better lawyers.
But they don't actually get down to brass tacks.
No one enters a courtroom at all.
So Meghan doesn't give a deposition or anything like that?
No, and there was a lot of talk about Meghan, I guess, is dating this character who was posing as a lawyer, who wasn't actually a lawyer, who I guess is the star of Suits. His character name escapes me. So he has been found out. He had to go to jail. And now Meghan is trying to get hired at a firm, but because she's engaged to this guy, this outlaw, the Lindsay Lohan, I guess, of lawyers, she's afraid she's not going to be hired at a firm because she has to pass some character and fitness test.
Oh my gosh, is this like a metaphor for her feeling like she has to have the right requirements to be princess, kind of?
Well, right. And then another sublayer of her three scenes was that her dad really wants to hire her at his law firm, but she doesn't really want to do that. She wants to go against the grain.
Wow, so she is so hotly coveted as a lawyer.
And she's lovely. She's a great actress. I would say she was the best, one of the best actors on the show.
Wow.
But I am biased.
Yeah, I was going to say, seeing as you can't remember any of the other character names or... No, I'm just kidding. I'm sure she's phenomenal. What is her wardrobe like? She's wearing suits the whole time?
She's the sexiest dress. So at one point she's wearing this... It's kind of a cardigan, but she doesn't have a shirt underneath it.
Woo!
But it's buttoned up fully. It's everything... The characters look like they all walked out of Ann Taylor. Everything is like Ann Taylor.
I want her to be able to loosen up a little bit in the role.
I do too. And I also wanted more scenes where she was talking about herself more. It was a lot of, she was supporting. So her outlaw lawyer fiance just got out of jail, I think.
Okay.
And was trying to get a new job, but he can't be a lawyer or impersonate a lawyer again. So for whatever reason, he is teaching these delinquent kids at a school, but they're all the whitest kids you've ever seen. They're like talking back to him.
Oh, God.
And then Meghan is saying that she wants to support him, but she knows how much he loves law. She doesn't want him to go on this different path. So I would want this to be more about Meghan's journey.
When you were watching it, could you imagine Prince Harry watching it? Do you think he would enjoy it? Did it seem to you like his kind of show?
I can see him Google searching, really trying to find all of her scenes.
Oh, yeah.
If he did watch the episode, he definitely fast-forwarded through
everything
the
else.
Other scenes.
I mean, honestly, we should start doing that as a service to the greater world. We should just cut every episode of the Markle reel. I'm curious. I mean, maybe just because you said she's not in so much of the episode, I wonder if they're kind of setting it up for her to... I don't want to alarm any Suits fans because I have no knowledge for this, having never seen an episode. But maybe they're setting it up for her to be written off the show or to make an exit.
I don't know, because at the end of the episode, she did choose which law firm she wanted to sign on with. So that seems like this could be more of an arc. And I read an interview with the show producer who I feel a little bad because everybody's only asking about Meghan Markle. But I guess she only requested one day off. She didn't request any more. Which, Josh, if you or I started dating Prince Harry, we would have screen grabbed that first Us Weekly article, texted it to the producers with like a peace sign.
Well, I was going to say, we wouldn't have to request time off. We'd be quitting before you could say, you know, see you for work tomorrow. Anyway, I think it was the lead character. So maybe the outlaw guy you're talking about. He gave some Reddit Q&A, you know, those AMA things.
Oh, right.
And someone did ask him, what was it like making out with the potential future Queen of England or princess? I forget. And like, you can avoid those on Reddit. You don't have to answer everything. It wasn't like a live interview and he went for it. And he just said it was the same as kissing her before she was the potential future Queen of England. Kind of a sly. But then, of course, that got picked up everywhere and was the only thing people wrote about the whole question and answer. So she is really causing, I feel like, PR. I mean, if I were them, I'd just come out with it, though. Everyone should just give a Meghan testimonial.
Oh, really? Well, Josh, I Snapchatted you a few of her more powerful scenes. What did you think of those?
Well, I have to say, it was like, how did she not win a SAG award? No, she actually was. You know what? I'll say this. She looked great. One of the scenes you sent me, I was like, wow, she was stunning in comparison to... Not to knock all the other actors on the show. They're all beautiful. Well,
you are just digging yourself in holes this morning.
And then Ava Mendez walked in and no, just kidding. But it seemed very serious to me.
It was very serious.
It didn't seem like there was a lot of levity or humor. And to me, that kind of bummed me out. Because I feel like she's a fun-loving gal. She loves, you know, her whole lifestyle brand and cooking and drinking wine. I don't know. I wanted her to be able to have more fun.
Right. She's very type A. In this show.
I was having trouble imagining Harry. I feel like she told him not to watch.
Do you think he's ever tried to give her notes?
Like, oh, have you ever thought about like not wearing earrings when you do it? I feel like his advice would be weird and specific.
Right.
You could see him having some weird note and she's like, excuse me. Like, you know, or she like doesn't really engage with it.
Do you think Kate will ever watch an episode of Suits?
We've heard about their tastes. They love Downton Abbey, right? Kate and William.
Right.
And there was another Homeland, I think they like too, which is actually, you know, I bet Kate requested a screener because I could see Kate just wanting to see what the deal is. Just like, I want to get the full story on this girl. But I feel like Kate would not be into it. I feel like Kate's watching The Crown right now.
Oh, who isn't?
Though maybe not if it's hitting too close to home for her.
Well, I feel like she still has a few seasons where it gets there.
Before it's like she's actually...
Oh, I could see Kate secretly watching The Crown. Maybe William's bothered by it, but Kate is secretly binging.
She's like, LOL, that is what Queen Elizabeth's like. Yeah, and William's like, shut up.
She's posting anonymously on message boards.
Yeah, maybe it's a way for her to like get out her actual feelings about everyone, you know?
Right.
Anyway, I'm excited to see where Meghan's journey goes this season.
Me too. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to keep.
I feel like you're talking about watching the Suits episodes like you came back from like a.
Well, dark... I was just kind of. I was blown away that no legal work was actually. No one did anything. They were shouting about a bunch of contracts.
I love that that's your main complaint, too. It's like, where are the, you know, memo briefs being read? I actually do have that pet peeve, too, sometimes when they tell you someone's really good at a job and you never actually see them in action. Let's see her legal prowess.
Right. I know. It was like a lot of scheming between rival firms.
You know, it'd be cute if Prince George thought she was a lawyer, actually, because he didn't get the difference between TV or not.
Maybe Charlotte, but George is way too sappy.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I feel like we're going to have to watch another episode at some point later in the season to check in.
I think you're going to...
Yeah, I'll watch the next one.
You too.
I'll take one. You took the first one. I'll take the second one.
Although I'm kind of scared at this point. You just have a list of enemies, a scroll of enemies. I think your take is going to be pretty scathing.
No, I'm going to love it. All positive.
Okay, well, that does it for this week's In the Limelight. Thank you so much for listening, and please remember to rate and review us on iTunes. It really helps us find new listeners and gives us an ego boost.
That's so earnest. Also, feel free to follow us on Twitter, In the Limelight. You can also follow us individually. Julie is at Julie W. Miller, and I'm at J. Duboff. Check us out on Instagram at In the Limelight Pod.
This episode was edited and produced by Alana Milner. Thanks to Laura Mayer and Andy Bowers at Panoply. And thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week. Josh, we should have a show in Dubai.
Yeah, we'll talk to you next week in Dubai.